Thanks very much. Hello! If history teaches us anything, it is that the Battle of Hastings took place in 1066 and that King Henry VIII really liked wedding cake. And all kinds of cake, and pies, and beer. And killing his wives the minute they even got slightly irritating. You have to respect him for that. But apart from those two things, history teaches us nothing. Nothing! And that's because history is so boring that the minute it tries to teach us anything, our brains shift into neutral, our ears frantically fill themselves with impervious wax, and we start staring at the bare legs of Joanna Thompson, who's sitting at the desk in front of us. But what if we could somehow graft history onto Joanna Thompson's legs and teach it to dance? That'd make you sit up and pay attention, wouldn't it? Look, I'm not advocating the amputation of the legs of teenage girls here. What I'm saying is, what if we could make history as sexy and interesting and relevant as that? Impossible, you say?
Impossible!
History is boring, you continue?
History is boring!
History's boring, is it?
Yes! That's what we all said!
Well then, I suppose this is boring.
History is cool and not boring. You only imagine.
That's right. We've got a pop band. It's Christian Riley and the Warnings from History. And they like history, don't you, fellas? Well, I think that's put the audience in its place. No, I didn't. My name's Richard Herring, and as you no doubt remember, I was on TV in the mid to late 1990s.
That was then, this is now.
We don't actually need a sting there, Christian.
Sorry.
That was then, this is now is the show that looks at what happened this week in history to see if it can help us understand the world today. Here's a little taster of some of the amazing and interesting and sexy things that happened this week in history.
October 1939, Winston Churchill describes Russia as a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma, thus inadvertently inventing the Kinder Egg.
27th September 1961, Sierra Leone becomes the 100th member of the United Nations and gets their first 2 weeks for free. Aww.
26th September 1934, Queen Mary launched.
That was then, this is now. Cutting the legs of 15-year-old girls and grafting them onto history.
Yeah, we're not actually doing that. It was a metaphor.
We meant it metaphorically.
That's okay then. Each week on the show that everyone is already calling Twa-tutin. Yeah, that's good. I'll be assisted. It's going to catch on. I'll be assisted by an historical expert and the first member of what I would be calling my time team, were it not for a last-minute injunction from Channel 4, is my old history teacher from school, Mr. Morgan.
Hello again, Richard. Hello. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's good to see you again after all this time.
It's good to see you too, Mr. Morgan.
Yes.
Look, we're not at school anymore. Seems stupid. Maybe I should call you Neil.
No. No, it's Mr. Morgan. Some of the kids might be listening.
Well, I doubt it. This is Radio 2.
Yes, well, even so, you know. And I'd just like to say, you're right, Richard. Joanna Thompson did have terrific legs. Got me through a few lessons myself.
Mr. Morgan!
Yeah, no, come on, I was only joking. You know, I am a happily married man. Hello, Hillary, if you're listening.
Well, it's not funny. You were her teacher.
Yeah, you're the one who wanted to saw off her legs.
No, I didn't. That was a metaphor.
It was an ill-judged metaphor.
You're not here to mark me now, Morgan.
Mr. Morgan.
Mr. Morgan.
Thank you.
It's great to have you aboard my team of time. No, apparently... I've just heard I'm not allowed to call it that either. You get to sit over there in the nerve centre that is History Corner, which before Channel 4's lawyers get on the phone isn't anything like Dictionary Corner in Countdown. It's got history books in it, for a start, not dictionaries.
Well, there is one dictionary.
No, there isn't. So you've been browsing through the historical tomes. Any story this week in history caught your eye?
Well, I was sad to note the 29th of September marked the 102nd anniversary of the death of one of my favourites, Emile Zola. Now, who can tell me who he was? Richard?
Oh,
Come on, we covered this at O-level.
The Dreyfus affair?
Oh, did he have an affair with Richard Dreyfus?
No, no. Emile Zola was the novelist infamous for his criticism of the French government in his Jacques letter.
Oh, I was going to say that as well.
Well, tragically, Zola was hounded to his death by the repercussions of the affair. He wasn't even free from the vultures during his subsequent exile in London.
Look! Look who it is! It's Emile Zola!
Yes. Oh, Emile Zola from off of the Dreyfus affair!
Oh, that's my favourite affair ever!
Oh, Monsieur Zola, we love your stuff. Can I have your autograph?
Oh, please, leave me alone. I'm just trying to have a quiet day out with my wife and family.
Oh, please, please, can you just say it?
Say what?
Oh, don't be like that. You know what we want to hear. Do your catchphrase.
Jacques! Jacques! Yeah, go on. Accuse somebody of something. Say Jacques!
Oh, brilliant.
No, no, not this again. In my whole career, I've only made one accusation. So why do I have this reputation as some kind of habitual accuser?
I don't know, but I'm sure you'll think of someone to accuse for.
Oh, brilliant.
You normally do.
Look, I'm a writer and a novelist of great renown. No, for example, no. I wrote The Gin Palace in 1877, The Belly of Paris in 1874.
Yeah, no offence, mate, but all that stuff was crap. Paris doesn't even have a belly. We don't like your surreal stuff. We just liked it when you did the Jacques thing.
And when he did that funny dance.
Shut. That wasn't him, that was Descartes.
Oh, right.
Saying Jacques was what made you famous, and I think it's a bit churlish of you to refuse to say it to us, your public, who got you where you are today.
What, on the run from the authorities who want to imprison me for libel without a penny to my name?
Yeah, you owe all that to us, so say it. Say Jacques.
No.
Actually, Mr. Zola, I've got a copy of the Gin Palace here. Would you sign it for my mate? He loves you.
Oh, yeah, why, yes, it would be a pleasure.
He's called Mr. Hughes.
Okay, and what is his first name?
Jack.
Okay, to Jack... Oh, no,
oh!
No!
Hughes.
Listen, I have exposed the anti-Semitism that is inherent in our society. I think I should be remembered for that, rather than just being the bloke that on one occasion happened to say, Jack Hughes.
He said it. It's like getting blood out of the stone, that was.
Yeah.
It
didn't do the voice right, though. It's more like
Jackie. That's how you do it in the Dreyfus. Poor old Emile Zola, hounded to death by society's obsession with celebrity. You know, it seems to me that he lived his life like a candle in the wind.
Yes, he was 62 years old.
A big candle in a very light wind. I'm trying to help me out. I'm trying to prove a parallel between the past and today.
Yes, but Princess Diana died 7 years ago.
Shut up, Mr. Morgan. Do you want to attract girls or not?
Girls?
Yeah, if we can prove that history is sexy, then we, by association, will become sexy as well.
Really? Not that I'm interested in that. Hello, Hillary, if you're listening.
Of course, no. History is a bitch magnet. Yeah. Look at Simon Sharma. Without history, he's just a four-eyed, wobble-headed geek with a mouth that moves exactly like the mouth of Wallace from off of Wallace and Gromit. But get him talking about history, and he can't beat the women off with a sticky stick.
A sticky stick?
A sticky stick, yes. Move over, Sharma. The history groupies will soon be ours.
That was then, this is now. Failing an interest in historical events and the hope that it will lead to copulation with emotionally vulnerable women.
That's right. That's what I'm doing. So, Zola snuffed it this week. Over to TV's Emma Kennedy for this week's other births, deaths, and marriages.
Time to find out who got wed, bred, or dead with TV's Emma Kennedy.
Hello, I'm TV's Emma Kennedy, and I'm here to take you through this week's historical hatches, matches, and dispatches. So first up, birthdays! Happy birthday to Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, who were both born on the 25th of September. 100 years apart! Spooky! But on a more somber note, here's the historical figures we say goodbye to this week. The world of philosophy was in mourning this week in 322 BC for the passing of Aristotle, who died from indigestion. Perhaps he should have spent less time asking, why are we here, and more time asking, where are the Rennies? But on the bright side,
The world of matrimony saw the nuptials of actor Robert Englund and his sweetheart Nancy Booth. Robert Englund, of course, most famous for his portrayal of Freddy Krueger. I hope they didn't have their honeymoon on Elm Street. That's what I'd call a wedding nightmare.
Yeah, how do you mean, Emma?
Well, you know, I hope Robert Englund didn't dress up in the Freddy Krueger gear and rip Nancy to pieces with his knife fingers.
I think it's unlikely, Emma. Robert Englund is an actor. Freddy Krueger's just a character he played.
Yeah, but it would have been funny if Robert Englund had got confused.
And murdered his newlywed wife. I'm not sure how amusing that would have been.
Yeah, but...
And, you know, I think we'd probably have heard about it on the news or something.
Yeah, but still...
Still what?
Freddy Krueger.
Go away, Kennedy. Go away, back to TV where you belong, you mawkish harridan.
I'm not mawkish.
You are. I've been looking through who... I've been looking through who died this week myself. I have to say, it was a terrible week for popes. Pope Urban IV, Pope Urban VII, Pope Innocent XII, Pope Boniface IX, and Pope John Paul I all kicked the bucket in the same seven-day period. Coincidence? Or something more sinister? Yeah, if I was Pope John Paul II, I'd be sticking myself.
Sticking yourself?
Yeah, are you picking up on my secret code to beat the evil Radio 2 censors? The stickheads.
I don't want to give your cursed Pope theory any stick, Richard, and I actually do mean stick there, incidentally. But there have been some 265 popes throughout history, so on average, you would expect about five of them to die in any weekly span.
You're really ruining this for me.
Well, you know, when I became a history teacher, I took a solemn vow never to misappropriate a fact.
Well, you know what they say? History is written by the winners and taught by losers. Yeah. Those old popes had some crazy names, though, didn't they? Pope Urban... presumably the first black pope, and Pope Innocent. Actually choosing to call yourself innocent is a bit suspicious, don't you think? Drawing attention to the fact that you're innocent just makes you think that secretly he had something to hide, I think.
Yes, Pope Pius is a tautology, surely, or at the very least showing off.
Bit like Pope Boniface, saying, look at me with my bonny face. Oh, my great vain man.
Well, actually, I think you'll find it's actually bony face. Rich, Pope Boniface was afflicted with a rare skull disorder that gave him an exceptionally bony face.
Well, the one who died was Pope Boniface IX,
yes.
So if your theory is true, that meant there were at least eight other popes that suffered from this supposedly rare bony-faced condition.
Yes, well, in those unenlightened days, there were very few other jobs a bony-faced person could do, so there were, you know, obviously a disproportionate amount of bony-faced pontiffs, including all the, you know, Pope Bonyfaces 1 to 9, and also, of course, the controversial Pope Skeletor I.
Skeletor was Pope?
Yes, well, I said it was controversial, yes.
Honestly, is that true?
Yeah, well, remember, when I became a teacher, I took a solemn vow never to misappropriate a fact.
That was then, this is now. Satirizing non-existent popes, oh yeah.
Hey, I was wondering, are you and the lads up to anything after the show?
Yeah, we're going out for a drink.
Oh great, can me and Mr. Morgan come along?
Well, the thing is, no.
Oh, right, I understand, yeah.
Oh, Rich, by the way, you know that Joanna Thompson you mentioned? Did she have black hair, olive skin, a little birthmark in the shape of a heart on her thigh?
Yes. Sorry, I'm saying yes to the black hair bit. I never looked at her legs or skin, no.
Do you know a Christian?
Yes, we had a bit of a holiday romance in the early 90s. She was fantastic. I lost touch with her, unfortunately. She gave great...
That's great to hear. Yeah, thanks. So anyway, have you got a history-based song for us this week?
Yes, this week in history, the Soviet Union introduced its first five-year plan for industry and agriculture, which expedited the collectivization of farms, thereby moving towards the ultimate goal, which was the state monopolization of food. This song's called, Do You Remember the Time the Soviet Union Introduced Its First Five-Year Plan for Industry and Agriculture, which expedited the collectivization of farms, thereby moving towards the ultimate goal, the state monopolization of food.
Sounds great. Let's go for it.
Do you remember October 1st, 1928? When Russian farmers had to fulfill production quotas handed down from the state? The Soviet plan is that you must realize we will go strong if we industrialize rapidly, rapidly. The day that Stalin introduced his first five-year plan for industry and agriculture, expediting the collectivization of farms, thereby moving towards the ultimate goal, the state monopolization of food. All right. Pretty catchy, huh? Time for a little bit of audience participation now. Do we have any men in the house? Yeah. Great. Ladies, make some noise. I feel like Justin Timberlake. Thank you. All right, ladies, here's your line.
It's the day that Stalin introduced his first five-year plan after four. One, two, three, four. The day that Stalin...
All right, okay. Let's see if the fellas can do any better. All right, here we go. Fellas, here's your line.
For industry and agriculture, expediting the collectivization of farms, thereby moving towards the ultimate goal, the state monopolization of food.
You got that? All right, here we go. After four. One, two, three, four.
Industry.
Collectivization of farms. Moving ultimate goal. Food. What's the matter with you guys? So catchy. All right, we'll have to finish it. One, two, three, four.
The day that Stalin introduced his first five-year plan for industry and agriculture, expediting the collectivization of farms, thereby moving towards the ultimate goal, the state monopolization of food.
October the 1st, 1928, y'all. Huh.
Christian Riley and the warnings from history. Sex on a stick.
Ugh. Did you know, Richard, that up until this week in 1820, people in America believed the tomato to be poisonous?
The wazzocks.
But on the 28th of September, 1820, in Salem, Massachusetts, Robert Johnson publicly ate a bushel of tomatoes to prove them safe.
Hmm. How much is a bushel, Mr. Morgan?
Well, it is approximately 24 kilograms, isn't it?
Whew. Whew. It's a good job he did that. If he hadn't done that, imagine a world without tomatoes. There'd be no baked beans, as we know them, no red sauce. You'd have to eat BL sandwiches. God. Thank God no one thinks like that anymore.
Well, you know, that's not strictly true, is it, Richard? Where we come from, Cheddar, in Somerset, many people still fear and demonise the tomato.
That's not fair, Mr. Morgan. Well, that's just stereotyping country folk. In a recent survey, only 79% of people in Somerset said they would burn down a house if a tomato was found hidden on the premises.
All right, well, if you're so sure about the safety of tomatoes, Richard, would you be prepared to prove it to the people of your hometown?
Of course I would. It's all superstition.
Well, good, because I've got a bushel of tomatoes. And joining us here in the studio are actually the mayor and mayoress of Cheddar, Roland and Nancy Pavey.
Oh, cheers then, Richard.
Hello, very nice to see you again, Mr. and Mrs. Pavey. I expect I've changed a bit since you last seen me. Tell me, Mr. and Mrs. Pavey, are you really scared of this simple tomato?
Ah, no, no, keep that away from us. They're wolf peaches.
Blood apples.
Satan's sweetmeats.
Beelzebub's big round red banana.
They're made from the blood of children.
Well, they're not made from the blood of children, Mrs. Pavey. People eat tomatoes all the time. There's nothing sinister about
them. Nothing sinister? Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable?
Well, it's a fruit.
Then why is it in Ratatouille?
Ah.
Well, but what about Robert Johnson? He ate a bushel of tomatoes.
Yeah, and he's dead.
Well, to be fair, he'd be dead anyway. He lived in the 19th century. Mm. Isn't publicly eating 24 kilograms of tomatoes enough proof for you people?
No. What's to say 25 kilograms of tomatoes wouldn't kill me?
When would you ever have 25 kilograms of tomatoes?
In a big sandwich.
So, look, if I ate 25 kilograms of tomatoes now, would you believe they were safe then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd have to be as mad as a cow not to believe tomatoes were safe after seeing a man eat 25 kilograms of them.
All right, Mr. Morgan, chuck an extra kilogram in that bushel, and I'll eat them during the next sketch to prove to these crazy pavies that tomatoes are not poisonous.
Are you sure about this, Richard?
Of course. Look, here we go. This is the first one. Look. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. Mm.
All right, yes. Now, calm down, please. Quite a quirky little story here. On the 25th of September 1939, Andorra and Germany finally signed a treaty ending the First World War.
Oh, God, 1939?
Yeah, don't talk with your mouth full, please.
Well, sorry, I'm eating these tomatoes. Why hadn't they signed the Versailles Peace Treaty in 1919?
Well, apparently they were forgotten.
Forgotten?
Hmm?
I wonder how.
And by the signing of the Treaty of Versailles, today will go down as a day we brought peace to the world forever.
Hey, hang on a minute. What about us? We haven't signed it yet.
Sorry, I don't quite know who you are.
Andorra. Little place. Just between France and Spain. You know.
Nope. Sorry, lost me there.
Come on. Andorra. We're a country.
Are you sure?
Yes. We've got a puppet festival. Andorra. You must have heard of us. Come on.
I've heard of Andover. Is that you?
No. Andorra. The puppet people. With the festival. Look. For puppets!
Look, it's obviously your first time here. You don't know anyone.
Well, then what? What?
Listen, Chappie, there's no need to get funny about it. If you want to sign the treaty, come and sign it. Here's a pencil.
Oh, pencil! You'll just rub it out when I turn my back!
No, I promise I won't.
Just forget it! Forget it! I wouldn't sign your stupid poxy treaty if you paid me!
Ooh, touchy. Get her. Anyway, come on, Germany. You've lost. Sign this ridiculously punitive treaty.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You won it fair and square. That's it. The official end to the First World War.
The First World War?
Sorry, the World War. We're not planning a second. No.
That was then. This is now. If history is bunk, then we'll take the top one.
Ah, how am I doing, Mr. Morgan?
Yeah, well, that's 24 kilograms, Richard. Just one more kilogram of tomatoes to go.
God, okay, I'm going for it.
Oh, you're all right, Richard. You've suddenly gone very pale.
Oh, God, excuse me.
Oh, Richard, my shoes. They were suede.
Sorry, Mr. Morgan.
I knew it! They are poisonous!
That's the devil's barf, that is.
Well, it seems you were correct. Tomatoes are poisonous if you eat more than 24 kilograms of them, so hope any children listening will take note of that. That's the end of the show. Hope you've enjoyed our trip through the annals of history. Sorry about the tomato sick.
That was then, this is now. It's his story, it's her story, it's your story, it's our story.
You have to let me through, it's important.
Get back, madam.
No, I don't believe it. Let her through. That's Joanna Thompson.
Oh, hello, Richard. How are you doing?
Joanna, I can't believe it. You still look so fantastic. You haven't changed a bit.
Oh, Joanna, it's good to see you again. You know, I've dreamt of this moment so many times. When you were at school, I couldn't tell you all the things I felt. But now you're a woman. Yes, I have a wife, but the marriage is a sham. Hillary doesn't understand me or my needs. Not like you probably do, I imagine.
Sorry. Sorry, who are you?
Neil. Morgan. I taught you history at school.
Sorry, I have no recollection of you at all.
Oh. Ha 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 ha! I was joking again. It was another of my jokes. I was only messing around, Hillary, if you're listening, in the White Hart, with all the other teachers, and the headmaster, and the PTA. Like you'd arranged.
Joanna, what are you doing here?
Well, I was listening to the radio and then this show came on. I couldn't believe it was you hosting it. When we were at school, you were just a short, fat, greasy-haired little swatter we all hated because your dad was the headmaster.
Yeah, all right.
But now look at you, hosting your own radio show on Radio 2. Amazing. I just live up the road, so I had to come down because...
With your husband? I suppose you live with your husband?
No, I never made that step. I've been waiting for the right man. But listening to the show, I realised that I'd already met that man. I could kick myself for all those wasted years.
Sorry, can I just check? Long shot, I know, but... that man isn't me, is it?
No, it's definitely not you. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Great, well, you've just proved that history is sexy. You never thought anything of me at school, but now you know that I host a radio show about the past, you suddenly want to get to know me and probably have sex with me. Tonight.
No, Rich, it's nice to see you again after all this time, but I could never think of you like that. You're covered in tomato sick, and I'm a bit concerned about what you want to do to my legs.
that does no one understand a metaphor anymore?
I couldn't believe it when I realised Christian was on the show. Such a shame we lost touch. We had such fun the last time. Christian, I just wondered if you fancied hooking up again.
Sure, Joe. Me and the lads are going for a drink after.
All of you?
Oh, no, don't worry. It's just the band. You want to come along?
Do I? Maybe later you and me could have sex.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. Let's just see how things go.
Cool.
One step at
see you
time.
In a minute, then. Bye, Rich.
Oh, well, never mind, Richard. It's probably for the best. Get those legs out of temptation's reach, eh?
No, it's good. Joe and Christian getting back together, you know, it proves that history repeats itself.
And also, I guess you not getting off with it proves that, too.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Christian. And think about it. This is only show one of the series. Already one person in this show has copped off thanks to history. It could be any of us next week.
Oh, do you really think so?
Oh, definitely. Very soon, history won't just be the thing that we hastily delete when logging off from the internet. Thanks for listening. That was then, this is now. Goodbye!
That Was Then, This Is Now starred Richard Herring, Emma Kennedy, Danny Robbins, Dan Tetzel, Christian Wiley and the Warnings from History, who were Damien Caldwell, Charlie Round, Turner and Martin Kane. It was written by the cast and Mark Dady, Toby Davis, Chris Kell and Nice Mum. Broadcast assistant was Trudy Stevens and the producer was Liz Anstey. That Was Then, This Is Now is a Celador production for BBC Radio 2!